Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
Blake Buck, how are you doing? Now, Blake Buck, you are about a foot away from me.
I hit you in the arm. You hit me in the face.
Look, we got to hit each other every time we do this in the same place.
And also with us this week, I don't know if I should. We'll go ahead and mention Ryan since he's here in the studio with us. We've got Ryan Meyer of Sid Meier fame.
Hey, everybody.
Ryan, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Blake. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're in this awesome setup here at Firaxis Studios. William, do you want to describe what's happening
here?
Well,
if you look down in your feed, you can see pictures of the setup, but we've got two mixers, like a gajillion computers, like soundproof walls, you know, microphones. Look, it's heaven. Podcast heaven. And Blake Buck's pimp goblet in the center of it all. So
also, let us not forget, Justin Ficarata of Kill Monty fame. Not in the studio with us.
I am unfortunately not in Firaxis podcast heaven. I'm over here in the desert.
In the desert. He just like plugs his laptop into like an outlet in the sand.
Yeah, I'm not in a house in the desert. I'm in a desert. My laptop is plugged into a cactus.
All right. Now, guys, we've got a very special battle this week.
So, well, Blake Buck, you received the email, so why don't you go ahead and describe.
I'll recount this tale. So, about last week, we got an email from a listener of ours named Christian C. You might know him as Chump Boy on the forums. And Christian C. says he's going to donate to us $100.
Whoa.
But there's one condition. Now, that's a pretty big donation. We were excited, but there's one condition. We had to promote. He's doing a fundraiser called... Oh, fuck.
What?
I can't remember the name of the fundraiser.
It's like Race for the Cure.
No, well, you can't fucking... If we're going to plug this, we should probably do it
right.
Okay,
where's the
thing? Give me the laptop.
God damn it.
God damn it.
So, Justin Fick, while we're waiting for this travesty over here to happen, tell us about
Hot 2000.
So for our listeners, this is the first of many times you'll hear us references from now on, but Blake Buck and William Miller recorded the Drunk Cast last night. Okay, now the Drunk Cast was, look, I don't even know, but...
Look. I think I had more alcohol. I've had a lot of alcohol in my life, but in the time span that elapsed, the ratio of alcohol to elapsing time was the highest it's ever been in my life.
So we tried to get Justin Fick in on this. Now we recorded this podcast, but it will never ever be released to the public.
Not proper. Well, there are some stuff we got to take out because as they like to say on MTV, things got real.
Things got real. We were crying. It was real.
We shared feelings. He let me touch him in places.
No,
I should not
don't talk
of.
About that. But anyway, we tried to get Justin Fick in on this action, but he was out on Hot Date. Justin Fick,
lame.
Talk to us about Hot Date. Go.
You gave Justin Fick a whole like 3 hours? 3 hours notice? Like, hey, we're doing Drunk Cast in a little bit.
You gotta be ready for that, baby, all the time.
Dude, the only thing I'm ready for out here is Hot Date.
So what is this Hot Date of yours?
So wait, no. First of all, there was a Hot Date previously that is now Cold Date.
Yeah, the previous Hot Date is now Cold Date, and I'm back on my West Coast groove, if you will.
All right. So lay out the night for us, Justin Fick. What went down?
How does Justin Fick start an evening? Other than
does this smell like chloroform to you?
Yeah,
that's how Justin Fick's night starts.
William completed my joke.
Does this rag smell like chloroform? That's my pickup line. Does this rag smell like chloroform to you? No, but Justin Fick has a new karaoke stomping ground. So Hot Date was Karaoke Madness 2000.
Now, wait a minute. Justin Fick singing?
Dude, you have no idea, son.
What's your favorite karaoke song, Justin Fick?
It goes between Rolling Stones, Jumpin' Jack Flash, and Pearl Jam, Jeremy, depending on how obnoxious I want to be.
Jeremy spoke.
Dude, I will do the whole last part of that song. Yesterday.
Do it. I want to hear it.
Dude, I got that any better.
Dude, I'll do it.
That's spot on. That's spot on. It's pretty good.
Gold. All right, I got this email up now.
Wow.
So, I was waiting. I wanted to hear the end of that tale, okay? I got this email up now. And so Christian C. Said there was a twist for his donation. He said that in order for us to get his $100, we had to promote his fundraising event called Live Strong, which is, I'm reading here, A 100-mile bike ride.
Oh, is that the whole Lance Armstrong thing? The one nut?
Yeah, this is by Lance Armstrong, the 100-mile bike ride to Portland, or from Portland. I don't know. Portland is involved somehow. So Blake Buck went and checked out his website at... God damn it.
You suck.
This is what a $100 plug gets you on the Best Damn Podcast ever.
So I went to his site, asphaltdream.com. I looked up our boy Christian C. He has had cancer 4 times and beaten them all 4 times.
Damn, son.
Beat cancer 4 times.
So what we love about this is this goes to prove that the BDPE fans can kick the shit out of any other podcast fan base. Because... we can beat cancer over here in BDPE.
We have found the cure, and it is Chump Boy from the forums.
He did it. So anyway, Chump Boy, so we say yes. You know, why? First we wanted to know why the hell he wants to give us some money.
Why would somebody who is like near died of cancer 4 times want to give our shitty show money?
But apparently he wants to. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be printing off some special BDPE. Now, these are actually going to be the first run BDPE t-shirts.
That's right. And so he got so excited after we told him we would promote him. He got so excited. He actually gave us $200. So we're going to go print up some t-shirts. And for those of you guys who want to donate to his site, just check out asphaltdream.com. He'll let us know. Well, I don't know. Should they email us? How will we know?
You can email us. You can email him. But... this is a really good cause, and you know, if you donate and mention us, you will get one of these shirts.
So yeah, maybe he could send us an email for people who donate. When you donate, okay, here's what we'll do. When you donate to his site at asphaltdreams.com, just leave like a comment when you donate that says from BDPE, and he'll email us a list of all the listeners who have donated.
And look, don't be a loser and donate like $1 and think you're going to get a shirt.
Come on. Oh, I'm going to get a shirt for $1. Don't be cheapskate.
Dude, $1 don't beat no cancer.
I know.
That just pisses cancer off. You want to kill it.
Also, just so you know, the remainder of this money will probably be used to buy a brand new forum for the Best Damn Podcast Ever.
We've been looking into it.
New forum. Envision Power Board, ladies and gentlemen. So all you forum goons out there will be getting new toys pretty
soon.
Right.
And not only that, we've also been thinking about getting some new intros to the show. So we might hire some voice. Look, we got plans for this money. We're going places.
We're going places. All right. So as a very special battle tonight, we are going to call up Christian C. and inform him that he has cancer for a 5th time. And he must show us how he's going to beat it. By making a photo of it.
All right.
Right, Vic.
Hello?
Christian, this is the Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Oh, God. Well, I'm about to go on a hot date with my wife.
Look, that plan is over.
That plan is done. So, Christian, we have a very special battle challenge if you are up to it tonight.
All right.
So, Christian, we are very, very sorry to inform you that you have cancer for a 5th time. I'm sorry, man, but you do. So, within the hour, you must present to us a picture of you defeating cancer for the 5th time.
Okay. All right, so you guys want me to defeat cancer for a 5th time.
That's correct. Be creative, you know?
Okay.
Maybe you could punch it out of yourself.
Seriously, I'm seriously going to be in a movie theater, though. All right. I think I can get creative here.
Okay, good deal. Well,
all right.
We'll give you...
One hour?
Yeah, so...
All right.
We're going to call you back when the show is winding down to see how you did, and we're excited. So, Christian, good luck and Godspeed.
All right, thank you very much.
Awesome.
Excellent.
I'm about to go on a hot date. No.
No.
You've got cancer again.
Our instruments tell us that you have cancer.
Our detection software.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
CDS, cancer detection software.
Dude, it's Norton anti-cancer.
Indeed, indeed. All right, Blake Bug, let's get this show rolling.
All right, this is your gaming news for Friday, August 8th, 2007. It's not f***ing August, it's September 8th, 2007. All right, this week in the news... Go back up. This week in the news, we got Virginia Tech Massacre, unrelated to games, no shit. report Sony out of stock of the US 60GB PS3s, and Uncut Manhunt 2 to be released in the Netherlands. All this and more in this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
All right, Blake Buck, so if we can all remember back a little ways when this dude, Cho, shot a bunch of folk in Virginia.
Never forget.
So there was rampant. I don't know what just happened there. They did this little thing. It was kind of cute. So anyway,
wait, what?
I don't know. Ryan and Blake Buck are just going crazy over there. So anyway, Jack Thompson, of course, was the first one out the gate to speculate that the motivation behind the tragic killing was video games. And of course, there's been a study that came out saying that this is absolutely not true.
Dude,
Blake Buck?
Dude, it was. I saw him. He was playing Game Boy. It had Madden on his Game Boy. It was related. I know for a fact.
Dude, football is a violent game.
That's right.
So according to a review panel put together by Virginia Governor Tim Kaine, the shooter during the events of April 16th wasn't really a gamer at all. During Cho's childhood, he played games like Sonic the Hedgehog. Look, guys, that's a real violent game.
Look, I once killed someone with a Sonic the Hedgehog doll.
I know. And during his college experience, he didn't play games at all. In the final and very thorough report, the review panel commissioned by Virginia Governor, was determined that video games were not significant contribution to the contributing factor at all to tragedy on April 16th. So, we all knew this in the gamer community. This is pretty obvious to us, but you know,
Sonic the Hedgehog might cause floods of furry fan fiction, but it does not cause violence.
Furry violence. Persecution, if you will.
Persecution. Now, one thing I wanted to ask. Here, go back up. I was still reading. So I don't understand why this is a big deal about, like, I don't. It seems like, is it wrong that he's getting so much attention? It happened in April, and yet we're releasing reports on how many video games he played. I'm sure they were releasing, you know, reports on all sorts of thing about this guy. Does this fuel the problem?
Well, we all want to point fingers. And, you know, of course, the gaming press is going to snatch up this news, but everybody wants to point a finger. You know, why'd he do it? The fact is, he was just crazy. There are just some crazy people out there. You know what I mean? As to whether this exacerbates the situation or not, I don't know. I mean, you're going to get pressed for something like this regardless.
I also have a note that he was enrolled in Taekwondo.
Oh, there's your
Sonic
answer
the Hedgehog
right there.
Took Taekwondo, too. I seen him kicking folk.
Dude, wait, what did I take? I didn't take Taekwondo. Look, Blake Buck took judo one time. All right, and let me tell you, my judo skills, well, I'll fucking jump over there and kill you right now, William Miller. You giggling at me.
I remember Blake Buck and William Miller in judo class.
That's right, and
throwing
I stomped
your fat ass
you.
Around. Uh-huh.
I stomped him. He was crying one day. I said, William, you want me to stop? And he said, no, I must be strong like you, Blake.
Oh, my God. Moving on.
Well, BDP Blake, host might Justin not Fick. Know. Justin Fick took him some Justin Fick took him some kickboxing back in the day.
Now, wait a minute. Now I want to see Justin Fick kickboxer. Now, how long did you take these classes?
Dude, this is from about 11th grade till right up before I graduated, so like a year and a half. This was back when I was in shape. now I've graduated from kickboxing up to sumo wrestling.
I've got my own sumo wrestling technique. Fall over. That's my attack stance.
Blake Buck, you're hot when you laugh, so you gotta scoot back when you do your cackle.
Look, my cackle is the most important part of this show. And look, you don't question my levels. If I call you up on the show and we're doing, William, you're a little hot today.
Justin Fick, do your news.
All right, so Sony is out of stock on their US 60GB PS3. So if you guys remember, a while back, Sony dropped the price on their PlayStation 3, $100 to $499. But that came with a catch, that it was to make room for their new $599 80 gigabyte PlayStation 3, and that the 60 gigabyte would be discontinued. So after Sony has cleared out its inventory of PS3s, then the $500 would be no more. So that, according to GameStop, has happened. So they've said that all the 60 gigabyte PS3 has been shipped out to retailers. So if you want to get your 60 gig $500 PS3, you got to do it now.
Also, the 60 gig version is the final version to have hardware backwards compatibility with the PS2. So if you're really concerned about playing your old PS2 games, the 60 gig model has the Emotion Engine chip in it, whereas the 80 gig model, I know that's the dumbest name. Emotion Engine. Come on,
dude.
I know you're Japanese over there.
That sounds
but look.
Like something Sega invented. Emotion Engine. It's on the Dreamcast. Dreamcast Emotion Engine.
But look, if you want that backwards compatibility with hardware, then you might want to jump to get one of these. But you can't because they're out of stock. So.
Look, I still don't have a PS3. I saw Brian. We went over to your house the other day. And
that's
I saw,
right.
And we watched Terminator 2 on your PS3. And I got to tell you, that set the bar for pretty much everything in my life.
this was really funny too, because like we walked. Okay, so this is before Blake Buck got here, and Ryan and I went to the Blockbuster to find a Blu-ray to watch, Blu-ray tape. So we walk in there, and Ryan's like, "Well, what tape should I get?" And I was like, "What tape should we get? Come on now, Terminator 2, baby. That's the only tape you ever need on your Blu-ray." And look. It was fantastic. I'm glad we waited till Blake Buck got here to watch that, because it was. We watched 300 instead, which is acceptable. Look, them mans in HD look pretty good.
Them titties, them man titties in HD.
But look, that was.
Now, Ryan, when did you get a PS3?
A while back. I don't even know.
It was a while back. So you weren't. I guess you weren't really affected by this price drop or whatever here, right?
You have the 60 gig model?
I believe so.
Okay. Does it play Guitar Hero 2?
In theory.
What is now? I don't. Does it? Can you play PS2 game? I know. You need the controller. Is there any way to play? I don't know.
Is there? I don't think you can actually plug the controller in.
Jank,
dude, somebody needs to make an adapter. Because PlayStation stuff is unlocked, is it not? You can make any kind of adapter for PlayStation. It's Xbox. They got all the copyrights on everything.
Now, have you tried a regular PlayStation 1 game with the PS3?
I have not.
Because look, I want to play my Final Fantasy Tactics on that thing.
Windmill loves weeaboo games. In fact, we were in GameStop the other day. I got a great photo to go with this story. I said, William Miller, look, here's a game for you. Magical Starshine. So he picks it up, puts it by his face, and gives a thumbs up. So look down your album art. There it is. Magical Starshine, William Miller.
I love that game. I love that game.
Dude, speaking of weeaboo games, I've been reading some judgments of Heroes of Mana. And everyone except William Miller says it's butt.
Oh.
Every single review I've read of Heroes of Mana says it's absolutely under butt.
Oh.
Under butt. No, see, that's not like, there's butt and it's beneath that. That's like its own term, under butt.
Under butt.
It's one word.
Unter butt.
That's like the nether butt.
Look, William Miller just wants really bad for that game to be really good. And now, granted, you know, when I say I've played the game, that means I've played like 45 minutes of it, and that's it. And I was so excited just to be playing a game at all. That
it was great. I loved it.
I loved it. So perfect score, 10 out of 10. Playbug, do your manhunt.
All right, I'm doing my manhunt. So an uncut Manhunt 2, is it going to be released in the Netherlands? So the Associated Press said a few days ago that the Dutch Justice Ministry declined to ban controversial video game Manhunt 2, and an avalanche of gaming sites reported it as the news that the uncut version of the game would be released in the Netherlands. So, while everybody's been banning Manhunt 2, Netherlands said, hey, who cares? Wait, bring it on. Right?
Blake Buck, say the Netherlands again.
Netherlands.
Netherlands.
All right. That's gangster style. Why you gotta point out my mistakes? I'm gonna slap you.
Don't do that.
Phantom slap. I was gonna hit you, but then the cord would have been in the way. So... So obviously everybody's thinking, oh, this exclusive Manhunt 2 tape, the Netherlands gonna get it. Now I'm gonna want it. I'm gonna set up me a site, getuncutmanhunt2tape.net. $100 a copy. I'm gonna f***ing make millions.
Dude, we should.
Because that's what somebody in the Netherlands sounds like. Hey.
Dude, listen, that domain is only $10 a year. Getuncutmanhunt2tape.net.
So, we may not have talked about this, but Manhunt 2 officially got re-reviewed, and it's coming out in the U.S., and I believe most European, well, it might be a few weeks later, but on Halloween in the U.S. So, I'm thinking that, I mean, oh, how convenient, Halloween in the U.S., that's a much better time to launch this game than, like, April, right? I'm thinking this entire thing was, as Justin Fick suggested, has been orchestrated by, not Take-Two, well, it is Take-Two, but... Who is it? I guess Rockstar would be the publisher.
Dude, Jack Thompson's in on it.
I think it's...
He's getting a cut.
I'm telling you, I think it's all manufactured. There's no such thing as the uncut version of this game. I think from day one, there's only been one version of this game. And they sent some super, super, you know, blown out of proportion tape to ESRB.
I just think they sent the ERB a porno.
No, it was just... It was a box, and you open up the box, and there's just a dick in there.
No, they said the ESRB popped in Butt Force 5 without knowing it. And that's what they got to watch for Manhunt.
Butt Force 5, a.k.a. Manhunt.
Is that the porno version of Fight Force, Butt Force?
The fifth one. Oh, my God.
So, I don't know if they've commented on it, but if Rockstar's commented on it yet, but obviously I don't think this is legitimate. There's going to be an uncut version. So just go get your Manhunt when it comes out on Halloween. All right, now it's time for releases.
Okay, we got Heavenly Sword for the PS3 coming out September 12th. Heavenly Sword puts you in the role of a powerful heroine who must hack her way through waves of enemies.
Now, I just like there's powerful heroine, like, right in the middle of that sentence.
So I don't know if you guys have seen this. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but they've been releasing, like, these anime, these Heavenly Sword short anime clips about this game. And, you know, I've just been eating that shit up, so.
I mean. I like how you further, like, we make fun of you for liking anime, and you just further this. Ryan, what do you think about anime? Are you a fan?
I don't actually watch a whole lot, so I couldn't really say.
Well, have you ever watched any?
No.
No?
Oh, well.
How can you not see anime? It's f***ing everywhere.
Well,
I opened up my computer the other day, and instead of getting the log-on screen, I got, like, Naruto.
Also, we've got, like, Anime Wednesdays. Art is all over that. Anyway, we also got Skate coming out for... Skate! Coming out
Skate.
For the Xbox 360. dated September 11th.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Skate is the EA's entry into the world of skateboarding. It features... Oh, you're hiking up your pants there, Blake.
I'm getting hot, baby.
See your power. And it features professional skaters such as Danny Way and PJ Ladd. Now, does it... Look, does it have Tony Hawk?
Who the are Danny Way and PJ Land?
Dude,
well,
I don't
first
know.
Of all, what if it had Tony Hawk? Tony Hawk's f***ing, like, no sh- 55 years old. Like, he's old enough to be my grandfather if my parents f***ed a lot.
Dude, he's... You won't have to cut that out. That is disgusting. Blake Buck, you don't get to talk for 10 minutes. I'm doing the show from now on.
No, I gotta talk about Skate. I played the demo with Skate on 360. It was all right. It was hard to control, but it's probably because I'm dumb and I couldn't figure it out. But,
no, it actually was hard to control.
Oh, it is hard to control? You thought so?
Oh, yeah.
And, I don't know, Tony Hawk, you just go. There's no, like, hold up to go, or you just go. In this game, you gotta hold, like X is, like, go on your left side, and B is go on your right side. And
what?
Then you had to hold down the sticks, and then flick them up to jump. It was real awkward. I mean, maybe once you got good at it, it gives you more control, maybe, but it was not very user-friendly. And it wasn't Tony Hawk, and I love Tony
Listen,
Hawk.
Listen, Tony Hawk has worked for like 15 games. They're doing something right.
Now, I think we need to make a game. This is this pimp goblet sitting right in front of me has got me thinking. We need to make a game that's sort of rapper themed called Skeet for the Xbox 360.
And then, of course, the sequel. Skeet, come on, Wayne Miller.
Oh.
I thought you were going to get that we were on the same page.
Skeet, it could just be Skeet squared, you know. Anyway, moving on. Blake Buck, go.
All right, so next we got Fatal Inertia on the Xbox 360 coming out on the September 11th. Oh, God, lest we forget.
So is Skeet. Or Skate, I'm sorry.
Fatal Inertia is an aerial combat racing game that uses physics as its core component of the gameplay.
How the hell does that work?
I played this game, and it is absolute butt trash. Oh, my God. It was so bad.
You're in the air. What physics are there?
Well, you float around. It's just sort of like you're like a little hovercraft kind of thing. So you kind of float off the ground a little ways, but it was
so you're not like up in the air.
Right, you're not up in the air. Like you're just kind of hovering off the ground. And what was dumb is, like, I don't like any of these games. I don't like F-Zero because of this, or even really Wipeout. I don't like games where you're on, like, hoverboard, because it's like there's no connection with the ground. You're sliding all over the place. I mean, maybe that appeals to some people, sliding all around, not being able to steer.
Yeah, I love F-Zero.
Oh, look, you love not being able to steer?
Like, there is only one racing game, and that is Burnout.
That's Burnout. That's right. Burnout, your wheels will only leave the road when you're, like, on fire.
Dude, when you do that crash breaker,
yeah,
that's when you fly.
Yeah, when your wheels are in the air, you get to explode whenever you want.
Well, I'm just going to say right now, if Fatal Inertia has any gameplay element where you run into a stack of crates and they fall into something, tape's going in the trash.
Next, we got NHL 08 for the Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and PS2. NHL returns for the 2008 season. What is H? That's hockey? I thought hockey was dead. Didn't it die one year? Now it's back? I don't know anything about
it. They took it off TV.
Brian, you know anything about hockey?
I know very little about hockey.
Look, it's the Yankee game. That's what it is. We don't
yeah,
know about that.
You're from
the
north.
South.
It gets cold here, right? You play hockey.
Get cold here. I do not play hockey.
Look, Blake Buck stepped off the plane and was not sweating profusely.
I know.
Something is wrong with this place.
I can't believe we're up. For those of you who don't know, Firaxis is in, what is this state?
Maryland? It's in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Maryland. And so I don't understand, like, the north where
maybe
it
nothing
is
nothing happens in Maryland.
Dude, nothing happens. It's dumb. You need to be in the
it's
south.
Like, it's
people
like Delaware.
Get shot and lynched.
That's bad. Bad. All right, just a bit go.
All right, we have Galactic Assault, Prisoner of Power for the PC, coming out on September 10th. Four alien races battle for planetary dominance in this RTS inspired by a Soviet sci-fi novel.
Wow.
Now that sounds so cool. Is this cool?
I just hope communism is somehow involved.
Dude, I want, like, aliens with the red star on their ships coming down.
Dude, tattooed on their face. What are you talking about?
Like, they got the hammer and sickle, bam, right there.
You know what they should have? They should have an RTS based off of alien hominids. So you have, like, the Soviets and the FBI
Dude,
guys
that would be
and
cool.
The aliens.
That would be cool.
I could dig that. All right, we also have Stranglehold for the PS3 coming out in 14th.
No. Oh, wait. Is that right? I saw it got delayed. I don't know if this information's been updated.
It's been delayed for PC and 360.
No. This is correct. This is correct. Because it was supposed to, the 360 one comes out this week, and the PS3 and PC come out next week.
All right.
So this is
great. All I know is this game had better, like, blow my face off.
Dude, I played the demo.
Dude, it does.
Like,
dude, it's
like,
awesome.
I remember reading on Kotaku, like, Brian Crescente or Luke Plunkett or somebody was like, well, I don't know about this game because, you know, shooting a shotgun through walls in a pack of doves or something sounds like fun. The first 100 times, William Miller's thinking, I could do that all day.
Yeah, what the f***? I f***ing hate, like, why you gotta make some fun of something I love? Shooting. When did shooting become not fun? Internet homo.
Like, I just don't understand.
Dude, it's got shooting and Chow Yun Fat.
I know. I mean,
Blake
that's
Buck
all you need
has
in the game.
Blake Buck has seen pretty much every John Woo movie ever made, even, like, the dumb comedies he made in, like, the 70s. And I love it all. So my expectations are high, but I was digging the demo.
So I don't know if we've talked about this before, but if you will recall, the Cougar worked on
he worked on Hard Target.
He worked on Hard Target with John Woo. So
nice.
Apparently John Woo really liked the Cougar. So all the people that he liked, every night after shooting was over, they'd go to Titty Bar. Until
nice.
3 o'clock in the morning. So, like, the Cougar told us about the last time he saw John Woo was, like, in an elevator with six hoochies from the titty bar hanging off of him, going back up to his room. He's like, see you later, Cougar.
Yeah,
now, see,
he's like, Cougar,
that's
you work on my next
John
movie.
Woo and the Cougar.
You work on my next movie. And then he never got a call back.
Oh, no.
John Woo was gone forever. I like how we're telling this story that Cougar told us this story, which may or may not have even happened, because Cougar is crazy.
Dude, he is crazy.
If you don't know who the Cougar is, bam, album art. Look at that chest.
Oh, okay, moving on.
All right, next we got the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Game of the Year Edition for the Xbox 360 and the PC. This is Oblivion with all of the expansion packs.
No. Not all the expansion packs. This is the two largest expansion packs, but I don't think it has the smaller ones, does it? Or maybe it does.
I don't know.
Does anyone know that? I think, look, Microsoft's still going to make their money off them Microsoft points.
Also, on this show, we say Blivion.
Yeah, that's it's right.
Or Blivion.
Blivion.
The O is silent.
Blivion.
Blivion. It's turning into a Naruto now.
No, that's Naruto.
Oh, that's right.
Mike corrected us slash Naruto or whatever.
Naruto. Continue.
All right, next up we got Kengo, Legend of the Nine for the Xbox 360, shipping on September 11th, 2007. This game you get to play as real samurai warriors from history as you battle through feudal Japan.
All right, now what is this game? I know you know everything about it, Ryan.
I know nothing
Look,
about this
okay,
game.
Dude,
this
you're
is
a samurai
the sequel to Genji 2.
This game is cut. This is it, cut.
Well, you can't shoot, so.
Yeah,
you can't
shoot, obviously, so you it is cut.
All right. What else? All right. Now you were excited about this one, right?
Yes. Next up, finally, we got Jam Sessions for the Nintendo DS. Now, this lets you use your DS as a guitar simulator, allowing you to strum virtual guitar strings with the stylus. Now, it's not really a game, but it just sounds awesome. I don't know why.
Now, tell us about the Special Edition.
The Special Edition. Special Edition of Jam Sessions not only includes the game, but it comes with an amplifier for your Nintendo DS.
Oh, man.
I am
oh, man.
Sold. It is over with. Like, I can put my guitar away. This game does it for me. This tape.
So how's that going to work? Is it going to plug into the headphones?
Yeah, I would imagine.
I guess though, that's the only audio output on the DS.
Dude, but then you're going to have to plug it into the wall, too. Like,
dude, I want, like, I want the tape, like that little-ass tape, to have, like, a quarter-inch mic or a quarter-inch jack, like, jerry rig to it, so I can put my big fucking plug in there.
Now I got a question. Now, I don't really understand this game. Are you really going to be able to legitimately play guitar with this, or is it just kind of like a little fun game?
You can legitimately play guitar.
But how are you going to play with?
Okay,
with
so
the
here's how it works. You got a little virtual string on the screen that you can touch with the stylus. And then you have four chords parented to, or eight chords, I guess, parented to the directional buttons and then the four other buttons. And then you can do like a couple sets of these chords and swap between them with the shoulder buttons. So essentially you map out the chords you want to play ahead of time, and then you can play them in real time and strum on this thing. And it's got a whole bunch of different like guitar sounds and all this stuff. It looks really cool. You can go on YouTube and see the guy playing it, the producer, I guess it was, playing the game. And it looks awesome. And it's not really a game. It's just like a toy. So if you get like three of your friends that have this tape with an amplifier, you can like, you know, rock out. It's awesome.
Dude, this is dumb because I got to learn to play it.
No,
I
see,
don't
that's
like
the thing.
That.
You don't have to learn. You just push the button.
Dude,
and it does it for
look,
you.
Look, I've tried that on real guitar. It does not work.
I try to think of something to say to that, but I just can't. Like,
broke down. Dead. All right, so is that all of our releases?
That's it. It's time for the judgment.
All right, this week on the judgment, guys, I'm up. As usual, no William Miller. He has nothing. I'm going to be reviewing Pinball FX for the Xbox Live Arcade. For those who don't know, this is a pinball on 360. So it's got three tables, each with different themes. It's got like one of them is a car. It's got race car. The second one is, what is it? Oh, it's Skate. Not EA Skate, but just regular Skate.
Not Skeet either.
So this is kind of like an urban kind of skateboarding theme table. And then they've got Agent, which is like James Bond 007 Nightfire.
Callback.
table. And so I wasn't sure about this game. I thought, well, I like pinball, but it's got a $10 price tag. So I was like, I don't know. But then I remembered, I got $200 in free points. So I downloaded it anyway. And so things I like about it, it's got beautiful. I mean, these beautiful HD graphics. This is the best looking pinball game I've ever played, hands down. I mean, if nothing else about the game, you have to say that. I find that it's fairly addictive. You know, you always want to try high scores. You know, pinball is one of those pure games because it's got both elements of randomness and skill to it. So it's very classic, very old school. I like it. So I got kind of hooked playing it. In fact, probably first thing I get when I get back to into Jackson's goal or Oxford's.
You know why Blake Buck got hooked on this game? It's because it's got flashing lights
and like noises and beeping. I love all of that. Finally, it's got some fun extras like online play and camera support. Yeah, there's even a mode where you can. Well, let me talk about the online first. The online has you play all at the same time, the same table, and try and reach a score. So and you just get unlimited balls. So that's pretty cool in that, like, instead of swapping out, which is kind of dumb, everyone just plays it once and it's kind of a race. So I think that's, if you had to do online pinball, that's probably the best way to do it. It's got leaderboards and stuff, so that's kind of cool, though. My scores are suck compared to, you know.
And, you know, Justin Fick would pick this up and beat your score.
Justin
by...
Fick, you are not allowed to beat this game. No playing it. Finally, and the camera support, it's kind of dumb. You know, you see yourself in a little, like, wavy background. But, you know, it's a fun little extra. They also got a mode where you can, like, use your hands to, like, activate the flippers, which... kind of stupid, but
lame.
If you're into
lame.
That, whatever. The cons thing is I didn't like, it's only got three tables. They say there's more coming on the marketplace. Maybe I'm hoping because I got a lot of free points to buy them. But only three tables. Four or five would have been, I think, a better value. Also, it can be frustrating. I played one game where, like, every ball went straight down the middle every time. That's probably because I suck. But, you know, nothing stings more than watching that ball go straight down with no way to save it. And finally, again, it's a little pricey. I got mine essentially free, or at best half price. And but it's $10 is a little much. Maybe wait for some downloadable content if you're not sure. But if you're looking for a fun pinball game to play this weekend, thumbs up. Pinball FX Xbox Live Arcade.
You really need to have. They need to have. Remember Space Cadet, the one that came.
Oh, I remember.
Windows,
yeah, with Windows 95.
They need to have that on Xbox. I would play the shit out of some Space Cadet.
No, dude, they need Epic Pinball. You guys remember that?
Was that for PC?
Epic Pinball? It was for PC with
son.
The robot. It was a yellow table with that robot in the middle.
Oh, son.
Dude, that's like the ultimate pinball game ever made. And the Epic made it like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago. Now they're doing Gears of War. They have graduated from pinball, and now it's Unreal in Gears of War. So, yeah, check it out. Time for the jank.
All right, speaking of 360, we have a 360 jank.
Oh, man.
Now, this is a bit of a not quite jank, because by the time the show airs, this jank will be over.
Too bad.
But this is mostly to tell everyone that we here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever hosts are enjoying this jank. So this is, or two of us anyway, because William and I don't play games. But Xbox Live is getting a Labor Day sale for their XBLA titles. So... For the next 2 days here, Microsoft is going to be celebrating the Labor Day weekend. They give them the holiday. They're going to be taking half off of some of the prices of four Xbox Live Arcade games. So this is going to be... actually, today was the first day. So today and tomorrow, gamers will be able to get deals on Gauntlet, Dig Dug, Small Arms, and Zuma. So this is half off all of them. So Gauntlet and Dig Dug are now 200 points each. And Small Arms and Zuma are now $5 a pop.
Look,
now the only problem is that these four games are shit.
Now William Miller acts like he loves Gauntlet. Now I bet you're thinking of Gauntlet Legends.
Yeah.
No, this is old school, like 8-bit. Even before, I mean, this was like the 80s.
Gauntlet. Well, there's that one too. That was all right.
No, dude, that game sucks.
I mean, it's no Golden Axe now.
That game sucks. What do you like the original Gauntlet, Vic?
I actually have Gauntlet, but I got it because I heard it was really easy points and a little bit of nostalgia value. but I actually like the NES Gauntlet a lot better. Because remember Gauntlet for NES, where it's actually like a bunch of different labyrinths and you have to collect different things in different rooms. I like that a lot better than the original arcade.
What about you, Ryan? I see you Wikipedia and Gauntlet over there. You ever played it?
cheater.
Not the original.
Been a stump.
Okay, so
did you play Gauntlet Legends? It was a purple cabinet with the big
No, no, I didn't. I never played an arcade Gauntlet.
Like we were talking about
the versions though?
Yeah.
Which one did you play?
I don't know what it was called. Probably for the Xbox.
Was it maybe Dark Legacy? Or
sounds
was it
about
that
right.
new one or Seven Sorrows? It's
probably Dark Legacy.
Dark Legacy. I hadn't played that one, but it's like a direct port of the first Gauntlet Legend, so look, I love it. You go around and cut stuff. That's it.
So, Blake Buck, Wee Miller, and Ryan Meyer were talking about games they liked the other day. And I said, man, that Metroid was so cool. Ryan, did you like Metroid? He's like, I've never played it.
How can you not have played Metroid?
Never played it. And so Ryan, I guess, has been locked away from consoles. Because, you know, look, Civilization is definitive PC game. I guess it is illegal to play old school console in the Meyer household.
Did he ever see you, like, playing 64 and he give you, like, an eye, you know?
Don't do that.
No, that never happened.
Not even a little bit?
No, not even a little bit.
But, like, no SNES, no, like, none of that?
Did you play NES?
No.
What? How could this be?
It was a sheltered household.
I'm telling you, look, I can just see a scene and where, little baby Ryan Meyer is in his crib, right? And he's reaching out for that NES controller. And there's Big Daddy Sid, and he pops his hand. No!
No!
You stay away.
You take his keyboard.
He hands him Alpha Centauri.
Thank you, Father!
Daddy Sid is just sitting there with a belt.
Oh, man. All right. Well.
So, yeah, you missed that jank, but we couldn't think of another one, so there you go. Time for discussion.
All right, so we figured since, you know, we were trying to think of racking our brain for a topic, as we always do before each of these shows, and I figured since we have Ryan Meyer here, we might as well do a discussion with him. So, Ryan, tell us what you do.
I wish I had.
There you have it. I do not have an answer to that.
All right, so you're just getting out of high school, senior year, going to college. What are you thinking about? You went on a college trip recently to Sid's old alma mater, Michigan, right?
Yes.
So you visited some colleges. What are you thinking about doing?
Probably the same thing old Daddy Sid does.
So this is something I've been like. I can't imagine growing up in the shadow of Sid Meier. What is that even like? Do you want to distinguish yourself from him? Like, sort of make different kinds of games, or do the same kind of thing? Or I mean, like, how does that even work?
I've never really felt. I don't know. It's never really affected me. I guess I just kind of want to make games. It's fun stuff.
So I mean, obviously your dad plays a lot of games, or at least back in the day when you were growing up. Did you play a lot of games always as a kid, or has it just like developed over the past few years? Or
how? I have played quite a number of games for quite a long time.
All right.
Hmm. So again, like we come back to this like no consoles in the Meyer house business. What kind of games were you brought up? Like what? See, my childhood is filled with Castlevania and Mario Kart and you know all of that mess. What are some games that are like your foundation?
I remember playing a lot of Warcraft, a lot of Starcraft.
What's your favorite Starcraft race? And there's only one correct answer.
I do not have one.
Come on.
They're all
if you had
equally
to guess,
good.
If you had to guess what mine is.
I don't even know.
Come on, there's one out of three chance. Come on.
Dude, it's Zerg.
It's Zerg. Come on. Zerg, I know that. Zerg's the best.
I just knew that. Telepathy. So,
okay, so what else did you play?
It's been a long time. I don't really remember. Those were probably the two ones that stuck out. Mostly PC games, though. Not a whole lot of consoles.
All right.
So, did you play XCOM?
I did play XCOM.
So,
XCOM 1 or 2? Which one you like more?
Probably 1. I don't think I've played 2.
The Terror from the Deep? Deep? I like how we said that in unison.
So, William Miller, that's probably the only PC game besides Treasure Mountain. Didn't y'all play Treasure Mountain?
I did Treasure Mountain.
Oh my! Okay, I'm glad you know what I'm talking. You were the. What was the guy? He was like he wore this blue jacket and this hat that covered his eyes, and he went around Treasure Mountain, and you had to answer math questions and you get coins or something. I don't remember what it was.
Dude, Treasure Mountain sounds pedophilic.
Dude, I was 10 years old. So anyway,
exactly.
That's the perfect age.
That is perfect. So anyway, I remember Treasure Mountain, and I remember XCOM. Because I bought that tape, I guess it was on 10 or 15 tapes. It was a big game. But William Miller bought that because it had Spaceship on the box.
And now, that's what you like.
And that's what I like. Now, remember, this is before I could read. So I don't know how I got through that game, but I beat that game when I was like 10. How does that even work? Did you ever beat that game, Ryan?
Wait, you didn't read when you were 10? Is that what I'm reading out
Dude,
of this?
Dude, William Miller, look, I'm going to be a little honest
uh-oh,
here.
Uh-oh, here it comes. Here it comes.
Is that how the South works? Is that how your education system works?
No, William Miller is actually dyslexic.
Bum, bum, bum.
He's actually dyslexic, and it
no
took...
No wonder he can't read The Rookie, baby. Damn!
It took me forever to learn how to read. But once I did, because, like, phonics never made any sense to William Miller. So essentially, he had to learn how the words looked. And as soon as he learned enough of them, he was able to, you know, read. And I can read fine now, but I couldn't read when I was 10, so...
You're broken.
I'm broke. The truth comes out. I can't. It's been me all along. Blake Buck can read just fine. It's William Miller can't read.
Blake Buck can read, you cripple.
Oh, no.
So, Ryan, getting back to the issue here. So, okay, obviously, your dad's been making games ever since you were a kid, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, what's it like? Like how much of his gaming life did he? I mean, like, when he's working on a new game, did he bring it home to show to you and you played it, or how did that work out?
He didn't really have to bring it home. I was often in the office, actually, so I played a lot of them there. Still do, matter of fact.
Yeah, Ryan's been testing the new Civ console quite a bit.
I broke it.
You broke it.
A number
Perforce,
of times.
Perforce empty. No more Imperforce.
Well, you know what's gonna happen? Ryan Meyer's gonna grow up and he's gonna make console games, and Sid Meier's gonna disown him. And it's gonna be a dramatic moment. I'm waiting for that screaming match.
Cast him out. Cast him out.
It'll be like coming out in the Meyer household. I'm console games.
Dad, I got something to tell you. I like console a lot. I'm sorry.
Has he ever? He comes home, you know, from work, and he's like, "Man, I hate this new Civilization. I just play it on the controller, and it burns my hands."
That has never happened, actually. Actually, since about the Xbox PS2 generation, he's been playing console games a lot, probably more than PC games.
Really?
Now that's
a lot of racing games.
Because really. We saw him in the GameStop. The other day, and he was scoping the console games.
He was.
We were in there.
He was.
So how often does is he a fairly regular like console player these days?
It depends on what's going on here, but for the most part.
All right.
Honestly, there aren't.
Now
that
you
many
mentioned
PC
some racing
games.
Are we talking Forza Motorsport? Or are we talking Burnout?
We're talking all of them.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wait. But I've never.
We're
seen
talking Gran Turismo, Forza. Burnout.
Look, I will take anybody in Burnout.
Look, I want to battle your father in Burnout. I will defend my title of king, Burnout King.
So, sit aside. Ryan, what kind of games do you want? I mean, do you see yourself in the same sort of designer, programmer position that your father has, or you approach the design process differently, or how do you want to work that?
I see things being very similar, I guess.
So, for those of you who don't know, like the design process here at Firaxis is kind of a lot different because we have Sid, and so Sid writes this code, and he essentially designs with code. It's like he's telling the story with code. So everybody else sort of writes code around what he writes to make the game happen. And that's, you know, in a traditional setting, you write a big design document, and then, you know, all these programs. It's dumb. And I'm just telling. But the process here is extremely iterative and cool, and you know, I love seeing that. So I'm glad to hear, you know, that's something interesting. But what kind of games do you want to make? You know, like,
I don't good games.
Good games. Okay.
Good games.
Yes.
A man with a plan.
Good games. So, well, that's good. That's good. So you're going to college pretty soon. Is that computer science? I presume.
You presume correctly.
All right. So computer science.
Are you thinking about any particular college right now? You got any options?
No one in particular just yet.
University
still
of Mississippi?
No.
Okay. Look, there are lots of drunk bitches.
I'm so drunk!
So we go.
So there are lots of drunk bitches.
You know what's going to happen, too, is you're going to have the pick of the computer science litter with your legacy.
Hey, baby.
All two of them. Yeah, better get used to that.
Hey, I'll show you my new civilization.
Oh,
I'm going to create a new civilization right in your pants.
Don't do
ow,
that.
Ow!
Don't do that.
New civilization for titties.
Thank you. That's where fit goes. Civilization plus titties. Oh.
No, it's like beads in Mardi Gras, only it's Civ.
No.
Good answer. Look, it's a very male dominated business. Like if you were a woman out there listening to this show right now, you will be so much better treated and like progress through the industry so much faster if you get a job in the games industry. Like you'll rocket up to the top of the chain just because you're a woman. Like that's plus 50 points.
I've got a challenge right now. If you are listening to this show and you are a woman, woman, I want you to email us right now, because I don't think there are any. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Don't be lying. Don't no men be sending this in trying to trip me up. I have sexual detection software that can sort you f***ers out.
Dude,
We can detect gender and cancer on the best.
And cancer, right? We got the cancer software right next to that gender software. Well, okay. So
Norton anti penis.
So do you ever have to deal with? I mean, you know, obviously, like you spend a lot of time in this sort of in this game development environment. Do you ever have to deal with people like, you know, trying to get to Sid through talking to you, or you know, the fame of your father and all that business?
I've never run into anything like that.
Okay.
Well, guess what? You've been lied to, because that's what we're trying to do.
I was going to say, like us.
Well, that's pretty cool. I don't know, like, I don't even know, like that's, he's in the top, there's Sid Meier, there's Will Wright, and there's Shigeru Miyamoto. Like, being the progeny of any of those three men would just, I don't know, I'd have to be a construction worker or something. Like, you can't beat that.
Look, I was thinking about construction working the other day. That is a very satisfying field to go into.
You get to hit?
Like, they give me all these things that make loud sounds. And then at the end of the day, you know, it's like, oh, look, there's a house. I just f***ing made that with my hands. Working like the games industry. Oh, well, I guess, you know, 9 months down the road, there might be some bit of code that reflects my work. Maybe if they don't change it or cut it. No, house, mine. Right there, one-to-one relationship.
Now, see, I could do it the other way around. I could be the guy that rips shit down.
That would also be quite a satisfying. You see that pile of rubble? Yeah, that's me.
That used to be a house.
Blake Buck and Justin Ficker at odds with each other in their respective jobs. They gave each other the evil eye across the fence.
Don't you come over here.
I think that could be an effective symbiotic relationship, like, and a good way to make a living. Like, Blake Buck would just go around the city and make shit, and then I'd break it.
So, Ryan, you were at, it's Leipzig, right? You were at Leipzig about, what, I guess a month or so ago?
Dude, that was like last week. You are retarded.
I'm so f***ing dumb. what happened there? What did you do while you were there?
I spent a lot of time in the demo rooms, 2K. Did some demos for Civ Revolution. Greatest game ever.
It's pretty good. They feet big. They got big feet.
It's true, they do. But not a lot of time on the show floor because it was packed with people, and people are bad. But
no, wait, what do you mean people are bad?
Crowds of people, hard to walk through, hot, sweaty, disgusting.
Was it like super crowded, like E3, or even more so? I don't know if you've ever been. Have you been to E3 before?
I have not been to E3 before because it's B18 or something like that.
Oh. Yeah. You made a face with that, too.
It's true. But yeah, not a whole lot of time on the show floor. Just went on the press day, and there was not much there because they were all getting set up. So, not that exciting from what I saw.
Now, I saw you got BioShock T-shirt. I want
that. Is true.
You gonna give it to me?
I don't think we have any extras. That's why I got snatched up. Oh, you can have mine, Blake Buck.
Oh, you don't got no BioShock T-shirt.
He does. It's true.
I do.
How did you get BioShock T-shirt?
I gave it to him.
That's right.
Oh, what? What? I swear to God.
And you know what? I was lying. You can't have mine. Set him up. Oh, knock him down. Ow.
Now, you told me that, I don't know if you can talk about this, but you told me that you were playing BioShock a little bit earlier right here in the office, right?
That would be correct.
Okay, yep. So is this normal to get like some of you, this, if games are through the same publisher, to kind of get like preview builds a few months earlier?
It really depends on the game. Depends on the developer. They wanted input from other people to see how the game was. It really depends on the developer.
So, what was the last game before BioShock? What was the last game that you had a chance to kind of preview early?
Probably Civilization IV.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Preview that one real early.
All right. I got some beef. Civilization sucks ass.
Blake Buck sucks ass.
I don't understand how anybody would like to play Civilization. You sit around, you click the wait button like every 10 seconds. I gotta click a button that makes things stop progressing. I don't understand turn-based anything. Now, I guess obviously you have a difference of opinion here, but I don't know. I don't really know what I was going with. I just hate it. That's what I was going for. So I guess what I'm saying is what about Civilization attracts you? I mean, now obviously you know, Daddy makes it. But what about the game do you like?
Well, you and like 10,000 million people that play Civ and consider it the greatest game ever made. Continue. I'm sorry. I just had to put that out there. And that Blake Buck is an idiot.
Dude, William Miller drinking the Kool-Aid.
I am. Big time.
Look, me and Fick know. We won't shoot. Done. So what about Civ draws you to it?
Well, there's a lot of strategy involved. So, you know, anybody with half a brain can play it and sort of figure stuff out. And I can see now why you don't like it. But there's definitely a lot of strategy. It's kind of fun beating up on other people. You can, in fact, hurt people no matter what you want to believe because there is no shooting.
I can do that in Street Fighter.
Look, let me tell you, it happens a lot faster than it does in Civ.
It happens a lot faster on a much smaller scale.
That's true.
That's true.
So, like, when you play Civ, I know a little bit about Civ. Like, how do you like to play? Do you go with, like, you know, the culture route, or do you try warfare?
I usually play pretty peacefully, whether I go for culture or technology, depends on how I'm feeling, but not usually a warmonger, but everybody else usually is, so I kind of have to be.
I love war.
So, Sid, so I go to design meetings. Both Ryan and I go to design meetings with Sid every week. I missed the last one because I have my headphones on. I'm sorry. but we go to these things, and one of the things that I've really learned from Sid is that strategy games are a sequence of interesting decisions. That's it. As long as you present interesting decisions for the player to make throughout the whole thing in a very rapid succession that affect the game, that's a strategy game.
So all strategy games are
Listen, son, you describe Street Fighter.
No.
No, Street Fighter
there's just
is not
decisions, low
a series
strong,
of
low
interesting
strong,
decisions.
Hattican.
Do I want to do fireball or twirl kick? That's a decision right there.
But I think that's the thing, because like Civilization is at its roots, except Civ 3, which was just mind-bogglingly complex to William Miller. Civ 4 is a very simple system that is easily manipulated by interesting player choice. So when you you're playing the AI or you're playing another player, there's always these really interesting things that you can do. And like I was not a Civ player when William Miller came to Firaxis. And since I've been here and have played the game a lot, like I've come to really, really like it.
Kool-Aid.
Imagine that.
And for those of us that don't have the brain capacity to play the regular Civilization, as you probably know, Will, Civilization Revolution is a much more fast-paced
That's
version
right.
designed from the ground up for the consoles, which will be shipping in early 2008 for the Xbox 360, PS3, and Nintendo DS, and in fall 2008 for the Nintendo Wii.
You heard it here.
Now, wait a minute. Are you sure you want to go into game development? Because that sounded like a publisher talking just
then. That was it. That's publisher speak. You heard it.
That's PR man.
PR man. So how? Okay, so we're making this game for all these different platforms. And what's amazed me, and this is a nice little side effect of how we do things around here, is that the code that defines the rules for the game that Sid wrote is directly transferable without editing, without altering it, to all the platforms. So you're playing with the same rules on the DS version as you are on the 360 version. Same code at the root of it. Different presentation layer, but same rules. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think that DS version is going to sell like gangbusters. Seriously, because it's like the
I could get into that. See, I like strategy games. I could see strategy games on the DS. I play them for like 10 minutes. Like, because Civ is perfect because you can play it for like 10 minutes or, 2 hours or whatever. That's like the perfect handheld platform. What was I playing the other day? It was just stupid to have on. Like, oh. Siphon filter Dark Mirror on PSP. I play that game 10 minutes. Oh, my bus is here. I guess I'll have to play this one again.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like you've got to be able to interrupt the game and resume the game on all those handheld systems. And I guess, I don't know.
Dude, on the DS you just close. That's it.
That's right. You know, I figured out how that worked the other day. How close works. If you ever want to test, if you're developing for DS, you want to test to see if your code works right when the thing closes, you can put a magnet right above the B button.
Oh, really?
And it will turn the thing off, or it will put it to sleep. Because I guess there's a magnet that, like, oh, that's it. There's a magnet in the speaker. Because there's a magnet in the speaker, they just jank-rigged it so that it would turn the thing off when the magnet got close to the B button.
How did you find that out?
Dude, Don. Don is master of all. He's like Euler, master of us all. Yeah, I don't expect y'all to get that joke. Euler's a mathematician. Moving on. Look, we better get to the feedback, because Sip and the Swede dropped a bomb in our email today.
If you've got any more questions for Ryan, or just in, for Firaxis in general?
Well, Ryan will be back, I'm sure, at some point, so we'll get to bother him again.
Good.
Good.
All right, well, now it's time for feedback.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to read this, because Blake Buck can't read. Oh, wait, I can't read. Blake Buck, go.
Oh, that's right. Well, we got an email from Sippin' the Sweetie. He says, "Hi, guys. I'm so glad to hear you're realizing which mythology
is the king of mythologies." Ooh. Blake Buck had to burp.
"Being a bit Norse myth, a bit of a Norse myth myself, I like to sit around and gloat over the how Norse mythology completely kicks all other mythologies' asses." "Dude, you simply need to know it all about it, and I couldn't live with myself if I didn't write a long email, which is well worth three weeks, that's hard to say. It will take Blake Buck to read it." I like how he knew I was reading. So for those who don't know about Sippin' the Swede, we always kind of mention him in passing. He's a longtime listener of the show and has done many zany stunts along the way to vie for our attention and love, which we give undyingly.
We do. We love you, Sippin'.
So he says, "Allow me to sum up." Actually, what's his site? He's got a site with a bunch of crazy shit on it.
I don't remember what his site was. Sippin', plug your site in your next email.
All right. So allow me to sum up with the help of the Swedish and English Wikipedia, the end of the world according to some of the different mythology theories, ending with the right one. Okay, so go.
All right. So we have Buddhism. People forget Buddhism, and everything and everyone will be mean. Then someone will reinvent it. It's not quite an end of the world because they believe in a cyclic everything. So then we got Hinduism, all cyclical. Everyone becomes mean. Some god appears and says, oh, knock it, oof. And everyone repeats from the beginning forever. Hopi, I guess that's Indian. The earth would be crossed by iron snakes and stone rivers. Dude, I like this. OMG railroads. Sid Meier's railroads. Dude, the thing I love about railroads is that it's just a gigantic traveling salesman problem.
Look, can you not suck up every 10 seconds? You know I love this game.
That's nerd William Miller talking. That's not necessarily like a good thing. Anyway, okay. So in railroads, the land would be crisscrossed by giant spider webs, OMG phone lines, and the seas will turn black, OMG pollution.
Spelled phonetically.
Then a bunch of people die, and the big nice people live in peace. Okay.
I think he just invented that. He did not do his research.
Okay, Christianity. Jesus returns, everyone is resurrected and judged, and
we were watching Serenity today. Firefly.
So the preacher just
goes around and shows up, and then he just judges you.
And leaves.
So you're doing something, and he's like, "Look, you're going to hell." And then he walks off set.
Nice.
All right. Then some goes down that people haven't made up their minds on yet.
And now apparently Islam is the same as Christianity except without Jesus.
Apparently. All right. Then we got... What the hell is this?
Look, this is Zoroastrianism.
The
world begins to suck. Then everyone is judged and the sinners are punished, but only for 3 days. Everyone lives happily forever. That's
dude, I like that idea.
That's flowery nonsense.
Dude, that's less than a work week.
Then we got Judaism. The world becomes a heck of a crappy place to be in. God returns and walks among mortals, becomes king of Israel, kills all evil people everywhere in the world, is good forever. And then Maya. Oh, William Miller knows all about this because he just made a Mesoamerican scenario for Civilization IV Beyond the Sword, which you can check out in the patch, which is soon to be released. Check it out. Designed by William Miller. Copyright.
Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah.
It's designed by Will Miller. We need to stop the show. Who is Will Miller?
All right, so...
What is this? What is this madness?
So,
dude, there's two syllables missing from that.
I know. Well, look, William Miller, in professional world, goes by Will.
Oh, in professional world. So
he wants to split his podcast persona and his professional persona.
I see.
And that's...
You
got to
keep him confused.
Oh, I got to keep him confused.
Do we embarrass you? Is that what it is?
Yes. I mean, with as much talk about penises you guys do on a daily basis, I've got to separate myself somehow from you retards. Anyway. Okay, so Maya believed the universe is renewed from previous times. First attempt at human life produced animals instead. The second produced people made of clay, blah, 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 blah.
I'm bored.
All right. So yeah, the real spectacular accounts of the ultimate event in the entire history of the world. He wrote that. Meet your master. Up here in the Norse, we ain't heard of less is more. Blake Buck, go.
All right, so like we've seen before, the end times is initially marked by global wars and evil doing. The world will be covered by timber. What? Is that
Fimbul Winter.
Fimbul Winter, which is...
Dude, that sounds like some Lord of the Rings.
This is three consecutive winters, during which wars and evilness will amplify. The sky will darken as giant wolves eat the moon and the sun, and the earth will quake, breaking free of the fettered Fenris wolf, whose gaping claws measure from ground
That's
to the heavens.
That's Fenris, dude.
Look, I can't read. I mean, you can't read.
Oh, Ripple. Can't read.
And the Midgard snakes slither from the ocean in anger, flooding the entire world, and
Naglfare. There you go.
Oh, you were so much better at that. Uh-huh. The ship made entirely out of finger and toenails of the dead.
Dude, that sounds
the ocean.
Dude,
hot.
That kicks ass. That's my next game, Norse mythology.
Are we exaggerating yet? And the heavens crumble, sending one of the Norse gods with his cronies riding out of the broken sky with a trail of blazing fire behind them. This is a long sentence. I'm still on the first sentence of this paragraph. The Midgard snakes breathe poison and vomits venom all over the world. The evil return and walk the earth, battling each other with axes and swords, and giants from Norse hell, which, as you'd understand, if you'd ever spent a winter here, has no fire like your version of it. There is a world of eternal ice in winter.
That's like Maryland.
And cold. Hell froze over.
The giants go on a battle rampage, killing everything. This is the first period in this sentence. Everyone slaying everyone everywhere in the entire universe are torn asunder in the process. The world tree, Yggdrasil. Okay, thank you, scholar. Shakes. The punchline, the very best part of the Swedish Wikipedia article.
He's got some Swedish there.
Some Swedish there, and it says, and everyone is sacred.
Scared, dumbass.
Oh, it's a scurred.
I got a little bit of dyslexia. So
look, the big life tree shakes and everybody gets scurred.
So then, what happens, Wayne Miller?
So they're breaking out of the heavenly artillery, and F S C K I N. I guess
that would be fucking.
Okay, that's. King God and their sister from every Norse legend they could find. They battle it out until the entire universe is completely laid to waste. Everyone gets murdered and destroyed, including the gods and the snakes and the giants and the mythological creatures and the stars and the planets and the planet. God damn it, what a party. Only two people survive, and then they start a new world again, but they'll have a great time. Win! exclamation point, sipping the Norse.
Wow.
That is amazing. I am changing my Civic right now to Norse.
Dude, I love like how that entire religion is based on battle.
Yeah. We talked about this last time. If you are good Norse dude, you die and you go to Valhalla where you fight and drink all the time. Until Ragnarok.
I love it.
And then you come out of Valhalla and you fight and drink.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. All right, take this next one.
All right, so Sam L., he writes, "Hey, guys, I rung you a couple days ago and left a message on the battle line, but I realized today that you aren't used to hearing New Zealand accent, then you may not be able to understand what I said." I don't know. Did we get this message?
I don't think
we
so.
We may have. I don't remember.
Unless you are Wazoo in disguise.
I listened to you guys. Actually, maybe, yeah. Our voicemail we were going to play, I don't know. Maybe.
No, because he was talking about Mies or something.
Okay, so I listened to you guys along with 8 other podcasts. Let me tell you something.
Son, there's only
there's
one.
Only
there's
one.
Only,
be
one
only
one.
That's right. I don't know what you listen
there,
to. It's
there
dumb.
Can be only one.
This is the best. On the way from
our
out,
listeners have only one friend, and that is us.
And that is us. If you're on MySpace, remove all of your friends. And I thought I could. Oh, I missed a paragraph. I was on my way to and from work, and I'm doing something repetitive at work. So I'm on a scooter, which I can show you through the power of the internet. Oh, he's got a link here. I'll put a photo over here in the album art, which is pretty spiffy to read.
Oh, I see that scooter.
Oh wow, it's pretty gay looking.
Silver Fox,
dude. I don't know who rides scooters because there is no way to look cool on a scooter ever
unless you're in a gang like in Scrubs. Scooter Gang. Anyway, go on.
Where was I? Oh. I was listening to episode 26, and it almost caused an accident through the laughter when Blake Buck had an ocular abortion caused by the virtual group. Look. And Dr. Buck knows what to prescribe. Ladies, go find yourself a piece of 1994 glory. I'm a fan of the show, though, fairly recently, the last 4 months, and I thought I would join the forum. Sadly, my Gmail account, blah, 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 wasn't accepted. I tried re-signing up on the forums, but it couldn't work. Could you get this working? The way our forums are set up is we have to approve you once you sign up, because we have a lot of problems with spam. That's why we're going to this new forum software, which won't be as much of a problem. Maybe your email fell through the cracks. Just send us an email at feedback, or I guess you just send us an email. I know your email address. It's like passing the buck three times in a row.
Diffusion of responsibility to himself. You are dumb. Look.
Look, I'll forward this to Battlecat. Or maybe
we'll set
that,
you up.
I got this. This is even less work. Battlecat fix.
Your Battlecat doesn't listen to our show.
Battlecat's going to fix. I told him to. I also said I accept to the challenge. As I'm in New Zealand, you can challenge me until 5, blah, 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 blah. All right, so we got you in the database here. We'll call you up at some point, Sam L. Rock on. Give me a ring sometime on any of the phones below, and feel free to add my contacts to blah, blah, blah. So, all right, so kind regards, Sam L. So thanks for the email, Sam L. We'll get that forum stuff figured out, and you better be ready. You say you're ready. Oh, I'm free from this to this. No, you got to be ready all the time.
All the time. We're going to call you
at work.
You are
on call.
Look, if you accept, look, this is not a laughing matter, you know. Not a laughing matter. This is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. Second to, you know,
Stump.
Second to buying Civilization coming soon to a GameStop.
Buying Civilization coming soon. Yes. All right, it's time for Stump.
You like that Stump?
Right. Who's got Stump, baby?
All right. Look, I was gonna do this Stump, but I already talked about it. But I'm gonna do it for you, Justin Fick.
Oh,
for you.
Uh-oh.
So this is a stump for you. My stump this week is CPU Bach.
Is what?
Ryan, take it away.
All right, CPU Bach is the ultimate music-making game on the 3DO.
Without question.
Well, that's why I never heard of it.
It makes music on the 3DO.
In the style of Bach.
That's right. You could choose your key, all that fun stuff, and...
Now, does it really, I mean, like, you listen to it, you're like, oh, is this the real Bach or the computer Bach? I mean, is it really that close?
No, it is, I don't know how close it is. I have not done a thorough analysis
but
of the two.
Good.
But it sounds good. It is all generated by the game, not pre-recorded. Yeah, crap.
So
it's good.
So this is a Sid Meier game. Sid Meier wrote this game with somebody else. Who do you write it with?
Jeff Briggs.
Jeff Briggs. So it's pretty cool. If you got a 3DO, which you don't.
Look, I want to see this game. You better.
Dude, the only 3DO game I give a shit about is Night Trap.
All right. We will fire
Night
it up.
Trap.
Night Trap. Oh man. If you want like 2 minutes of solid gold, youtube.com, search Night Trap. You are set.
Dude. Didn't they come out for the Sega CD, too?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, I think it was on... That's right. I don't even think it was on
It was
the
on
3DO.
Sega CD
Look
to start, and later
Look
on it came to 3DO.
Is it on the 3DO? He doesn't even know.
I don't remember.
Maybe I know. It's on 3DO.
I can't stop from looking at it over here.
There it is.
Night Trap. I love it.
Oh, God. All right. All right, Blake Bug, what you got?
Oh, somebody else go. I hadn't really thought of anything.
Justin,
I
got
a stump. My stump this time around is called... Keith Courage in Alpha Zones.
What the f***? That's the name of, like, some hippie book or something.
Dude, that's the name of motivational tape.
You don't even talk about motivational tapes around me.
On Drunkcast last night, we got into talking about Blake Buck's motivational tapes.
That's right. I like to empower myself.
No more. Hide that power.
That's right. That show's going to be $10. We're going to tease you for months and then charge you for it, assholes.
All right. We don't know what it is.
So Keith Courage in Alpha Zones, and you know we try to stay away from using this word as an adjective on the show, but there is no better word to describe Keith Courage in Alpha Zones than unbelievably gay.
Is it like Chowaniki?
No, not quite like that. But it's like it's a TurboGrafx 16 tape. I remember we got this tape when we got our TurboGrafx 16 back in the day, and we played this game. We're like, what the f- is going on? So the first part of the Keith Courage level is you play like this absolutely. I'm gonna go crazy. You play an absolutely gay red haired little dude that swings a little sword. And the sword is gay, and it makes a little gay sound every time you swing the sword. It's not like a whooshing or anything like that. It's like a beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. It's so unbelievably homosexual. And you're killing me, Blake Buck.
You're killing me, Justin Fick.
And it's like, and you kill like these little fluffy animals, and at the end of the level, a rainbow comes down and it pulls you into the sky, and then you turn into this giant fucking badass robot. Transformers! And you blow up everything.
That is Michael's battle plane you're talking about.
And glowing spikes that destroy you, and it's just like, how the hell did this game ever get made? It's like Care Bears and Metalocalypse in the same show.
And Cheetah Man. And the Cheetah Man.
Oh, I love the Cheetah
Man. Dude, the Cheetah Man. Oh, my God. I tried playing that tape the other day. Oh, my God.
All right, so my game for you guys, I just thought of it just now. It's on the Super NES. I think there may also be an arcade version. It is a fairly popular game, so one of you may get it. My game for you is Sonic Blast Man.
Dude, I know Sonic Blast Man. It's an SNES tape, but it's probably an arcade.
Have we done this before? Dude, he's like that huge guy, right?
And with the giant shades.
And he moves like 2 pixels per second on the screen.
Yeah. Sonic Blast Man was a, I don't know, I call him Street Fight, you know, walk down the
beat
street.
Beat him up. It's beat him up.
I guess. And you play Sonic Blast Man, but that's pretty much the height of like this. Everybody knows this 90s hero. He's got big muscles, ridiculous cape. And a bunch of things with his
I just saw the box art for Sonic Blast Man, and this is fucking classic.
Go look at the feed; it's classic, man. Oh, I want to see. Oh, that's right. I'm looking at the box art. It's got a truck on it. I remember level 2. You had to like punch a truck to save a child.
Oh, I see that power.
Those were his only weapons. Were the fists. So, it was a pretty cheesy game, but a lot of fun to play. So, you got emulator tape or in your closet somewhere. go check out Sonic Blast Man.
Now, I don't. This might be ruining a perfectly good. I don't know what made me think of this, but have we ever done Jumping Flash on Stump?
It sounds familiar.
I think we have.
Oh. I think we have. What is it?
Well, you jump.
Good.
Moving on. Look, I bet Ryan has got some serious like PC game power we have never ever heard of. We're gonna be dead.
Civilization.
What do you got for us, Ryan?
All right. Yeah. All right. Covert action.
Have we done covert action before?
It sounds familiar.
This sounds like. Is it top down? Is it like old DOS top down game? We run around with
multiple games, really.
Oh,
action!
I can tell you that without even knowing what this game is, it's probably a Sid Meier game.
Really?
Now I know what this game is. Covert action. You play Tomonobu Itagaki.
you're in the Itagaki.
You gotta stay in the shade.
You're in Tecmo headquarters.
There's this new girl who hangs out by the soda machine. From 11 to 11:15 every day. And you're pretty sure that if you get in there at the right time, nobody's going to hear.
All right, so what is covert action?
It is a spy game, as you can probably tell from the title. It's a bunch of different mini games, sort of. There's hacking, there's wiretapping, all sorts of fun stuff for the PC long time ago.
This is a MicroProse game.
This is a MicroProse game.
This is a Sid Meier game.
This is a Sid
Boom!
Meier
game. Boom! Point for Justin Fick.
I don't understand. I don't understand how there's so many Sid Meier games I don't even heard of. Like 3DO Bach Battler. Okay, I've never heard of any of this.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Sid make a lot of like flight simulators when he was at MicroProse?
At least one, possibly more.
We gotta look on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia pulling up. He's got a bookmark daddy.
So yeah, wasn't the guy that he went to Microprose, went in with Microprose, like, with, wasn't he like a big, like, War Games aficionado or something? I don't remember his name.
That is actually how Microprose started.
Yeah, that's
so Pops and Bill Staley are playing Red Baron, the arcade machine.
Whoa.
Wow.
And so they're sitting there, and Bill Staley says, if you make a game better than this, I will market it. And that is where Microprose was born. And that same machine is sitting in a warehouse somewhere.
Wow.
Wow.
I think Microprose got it, and it got lost somewhere. I don't know where it is right now, but
so tell
happened.
Me, tell us what happened to Microprose. Like,
they merged with Hasbro Interactive.
To me, like, once Civilization was made, Microprose just exploded, and out of the rubble came Firaxis. But that's probably not how it happened.
What happened was a bunch of people left Microprose, formed Firaxis, and then Microprose got bought by a thousand different companies and went straight down the shitter.
Or exploded. I like that one better.
Exploded. That's fine, too. Imploded, maybe.
Implode. So... Right, so there are a lot of games that they came out with that were just, I don't know, lots of flight simulators and war games, because I think that's what he liked. What's the guy's name again?
Bill Staley.
Bill Staley. There's a very interesting Gamma Sutra article on this whole thing, because Civilization, Civilization IV Beyond the Sword patch comes out very soon with William Miller's mod in it.
Look, you don't even know when it comes out. Look at you. Look. Oh, it's my game. When's it coming out? I don't know. Like next week or something. Oh,
no. Well, I think it's largely up to 2K now as to when it comes out. But developers have no say over when their games are going to be on the shelves. Like, are very, very little. It's mainly the public. So see, look.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. Yeah, good job. About. Look, you can't even read. I'm never letting go of that.
Dude, don't get me started on them tapes.
You don't threaten me with the... See, Wimble is already threatening me with the things that were said on this podcast.
Okay, look, we got to make a pact right now. No more of that. Because we both laid down some serious heat. That night. No more.
Dude, you're arousing my curiosity over here.
Look, it can be aroused all it wants to be, but it will not be satisfied.
Wayne Miller told me he was gay.
No, I didn't.
That's how you defend. Nuh-uh.
Oh, all right. My God. Let's wrap this up. Oh, wait. We got to call back Christian.
Oh, you're right. Christian C. Let's get him on the phone while we start up Skype now. You still think that's funny?
Still think it's funny. Hello? Christian.
Yes.
Have you completed your task?
I have completed the task.
Oh, excellent.
Awesome.
We are ready.
Man.
We are ready. So you have a photo for us?
Yeah, I still have to. I have to download it. I'm downloading it as we speak.
Okay. So we've got a Flickr account. You know how to use Flickr?
Yeah, I actually have my own Flickr. Should I put it up to my Flickr account?
Yeah, you can put it up to your own and just put it up to ours. So the account name is Best Damn Podcast Ever, and the password is ABC123.
So just Best Damn Podcast Ever ABC123.
So while we're waiting for this image to download, I'm sure there is a narrative, a story of some kind to go with this image we're about to see. Lay it on us.
Well, all I gotta say is, compared to the other four times Survivor Champion, this was by far the most challenging and the most stressful. Not to mention that you guys owe me and my wife a showing of Stardust in Michelle Pfeiffer. We put the
we saved you from that movie. Hold. You know that. You know you didn't want to go see that movie.
Come on, that was date night. It was hot date night.
Hot date?
Hot date.
I don't know if I ended up knowing my wife's all pissed. She was like the assistant. She thinks she was taking a photo. She's all turny, lying on the ground. she was quite a good sport.
Well, it's all for very good cause. Look, we plugged your thing very extensively at the top of the show. Although Blake Buck could not remember anything.
I had to pull up the info. I thought I had it remembered. But I forgot, like, your URL.
But we got it covered. At the top of every show, we're gonna do it. So I think the plan is, what we're going to do is we're going to print off these special shirts, and then people are going to donate to you, and then they're going to just say, donated by a fan of the Best Damn Podcast Ever, and then you send their names to us, and we send them a shirt. So, you know,
yeah,
whoever...
Actually, there is a spot when you donate. I guess they're going to donate through the website still?
Through your site.
There is a spot that says, you know, in memory of, or in honor of.
There we go.
Right.
They put in honor of BDPE or something like that.
Yeah.
Then we'll know.
And we saw your bike.
We watched your videos.
We saw your bike, and let me tell you, I had a bike just like that, and it got stolen.
Dude, you didn't have
Look, my bike had kinds of aftermarket gauges. It had a nitro kit on it.
Look, you didn't have that.
Oh, I didn't have Altegra. What is that?
I watched the video. You don't even know.
Maybe that was your bike that I'm talking about.
That is actually my bike. You gave it back now.
Right. Awesome. All right, well, anyway, so the story, though, about the photo, it might be a little hard to make them out, but what we did was, I'd say we were pretty creative, especially given that it was 1 hour. And so we got cigarettes, and we got some butter. Everyone knows that cigarettes plus butter equals cancer.
The more you know.
Exactly, the more you know. And we took that butter cancer, our cigarettes, and we created a little butter cigarette stick figure. Planted him on a little motorcycle, and I raced that little guy. I defeated him.
I love it. Butter and cigarettes. Man, we've been on like a medical kick. We've discovered two abortion methods and the cause of cancer in the course of two shows. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I would say the butter and cancer, the butter and cigarette stick, definitely may be another thing in common.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it does. So when do you race exactly? I don't remember the exact date.
Oh, the race is at the end of September, mm-hmm. And I might get to meet Lance. He will be there.
Really?
He rides at the front of the race, and pretty much there's no way of catching up with him. But it's kind of cool to see his backside. And there's going to be.
Set that one up. And,
I had to knock it down. I'm sorry.
And there's going to be a pasta dish before.
Nice. You've got to load up on them carbs.
Yep, definitely.
I heard the story of Lance Armstrong. Like, I heard one day he woke up and his testicles were like twice the size of his head. So he said, I'm going to ride my bike until this gets fixed. And that's exactly what he did. He beat cancer.
Yep, exactly. That is exactly what he did. That story is 100%. And in fact, I'm doing the same thing, but luckily the cancer's out there. That's just my normal thing.
Yeah, see, if Justin Fick woke up and his testicles are twice the size of his head, there ain't no problem. Justin Fick's good to go.
That means you can go twice as long.
So
you wouldn't need the hot day contest.
Right, exactly. So how long exactly is the race? Like, it's a pretty long race, right?
100 miles. Yeah, it's 100 miles. And it's through the hills of Portland. There's going to be 1,000 feet elevation gain during the ride. And given my current state of fitness, it'll probably take me about 8 hours to do. But, I'll be able to get snacks along the way and continue to watch it on. And, it should be a lot of fun. The cheering stations along the way. We'll see how it goes.
So I know me and Blake Buck eat butter all the time and could never ever do this kind of race. Have you been doing some kind of
thing?
Like,
I think I have biked 100 miles over the course of my whole life. Maybe.
Maybe.
I think I might have ridden 100 miles once.
So is there any special training? Like how have you been preparing for this event?
Pretty much just by riding a lot. The thing that I do is that every weekend and also during the week, for 5 hours a weekend, I do long rides.
And pretty much during the whole ride, I'm saying, right, after this long ride, which might be 60 miles, 70 miles, or whatever, it's a training ride, all I'm thinking about is a cheeseburger.
An Octomag.
I'm not even joking. Cheeseburger from a local place right around the corner. And that is what makes me laugh. And that's what inspires me.
Wow.
I want myself to have that big ass. It's not just a cheeseburger. It is a double bacon cheeseburger deluxe.
Oh, deluxe, dude.
Deluxe.
And that's pretty much all you need.
Is it as big as an Octomac?
You know, I think it could take, in terms of just meat portion, it might be able to take on an Octomac. That would be quite a battle.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is this the first time you've done this sort of thing?
No, actually, I did. I did it last year, too. And that was a lot of pain and suffering, that's for sure. I was actually training through chemotherapy last year. And this year, kind of through radiation and something else. I can't remember. Hip surgery. My hip is all kind of messed up.
Holy shit, dude. Like, wait, let's just stop.
How do you forget about hip surgery? It's like, oh, yeah, hip surgery.
Like, you have... Okay, so chemotherapy, that's when you're bombarded by devil rays. and they took your hip out. And you're still on the bike training for this thing. Like,
you don't even have a leg. What are you going to do about my legs, Charlie Murphy?
Like, I can't believe, like, this just proves, I said this at the top of the show, this just proves that the listeners of the Best Damn Podcast Ever are so much tougher than any other listeners of any other podcast. Our fan base
Damn
can
right.
kick your fan base's ass.
Damn
any
right.
day.
Absolutely.
And cancer. 5 times.
Yep. Yeah, that just gave me an idea. So we were talking about Norse mythology earlier in Ragnarok. We need to have the Best Damn Podcast Ever Ragnarok, where we just pick another podcast on Podcast Alley, and we just go to war, like our fans against their fans, and just a
this
fight to
like
the death.
This is not like an online thing. We run out in the streets.
And look, MuggleCast, looking at you. You've been up there far too long. And then the Libertarians,
dude, they're going to bring their wands and their brooms, and we're going to come in with Octomax and motorcycles
and butter
and
sticks
ocular,
with
yeah,
cigarettes.
And we'll give them all ocular abortions.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, we sure appreciate you taking the time out of your hot date to make this happen for us. We are incredibly anxious to see the results of your battle.
Are they about up yet?
It's hard to be on the phone and upload the flickers at the same time. But I will upload them literally as soon as we get off the phone.
Awesome.
All right, well.
Wait, I just got one quick question here. We got Ryan Meyer in the studio, and I want you to just answer me very honestly. Do you like Civilization?
I like the concept. I've never played it.
Oh, damn it. You're supposed to hate it.
You lose.
Sorry, oh, wait, what? What? No, I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that work and play it, and they really like it.
Now, where do you work? You're a software developer? Did I read that on your blog?
Yeah, software developer.
So wait,
actually,
I'm
a manager in the software development group.
Where do you work?
I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want to walk into work one day and then just find out, oh my god, what? Where's all my stuff? And be escorted out by the nice security manager.
So are you...
They won't rename me.
So you a programmer? Or you said you managed, but do you do programming or, like...
Yeah, well, I used to, and then I pretty much now manage the team.
Okay. Okay.
Great bunch of guys.
Cool.
They've been behind.
You don't make games, do you?
No, website stuff.
Oh, web. Okay. All right. That's pretty cool.
I have no idea how game programming works on them.
Look, we don't either. We just sit at the keyboard all day and beat my face against it, and out pops the Mesoamerican mod for Civilization 4, which is coming out on the patch. You can download it almost immediately. Look, PR jargon.
Nice.
That's
pretty
much
what we do at work too. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we sure appreciate it. Give our regards to your wife, and we hope that you have a fantastic evening. And you, sir, have beaten cancer and have become a battle legend. So, Christian C, you good luck on your thing, on your race, and we will continue to plug your charity. And thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, man.
That's $20 for the tickets to start up.
Okay, we'll send that your way. All right, man.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
All
right. Adios.
That was good. I can't wait to see these pictures, man.
All right, well, that's it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
Wow. I have to say,
damn fine episode.
That was a good episode. Ryan, we sure appreciate you being with us. We hope you'll come back and do some more shows with us.
Sure, I will.
And this, this setup, I wish I could take this with us.
I know.
You're gonna be inundated with pictures because we are so proud of it.
I know. All these mics, all these computers, all this equipment to touch. I love it.
It's pretty good. We will never again have such a nice place to podcast. So enjoy this fantastic quality, listeners, because you won't be getting it again.
If you'd like to sign up for Battle or just give us a voicemail call or whatever, leave us a voicemail at 845-BATTLE-9, the number to call for voicemails. Also, you can send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can donate to us by donating through PayPal at donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can use links on the site and show notes. Finally, vote for us at Podcast Alley, September, a month to remember.
That's right.
For America and for Best Damn Podcast Ever.
If you do not vote for us, you don't love America.
You love terror.
You love terror and fear. So, Podcast Alley, Best Damn Podcast Ever. Look, I want to see Blake Buck play Marathon. We all know.
Look, that's coming.
It's coming. So, get us up there, top 10, that MuggleCast. We got to knock it off its throne. Also, guys, we're going to fight another podcast pretty soon. Our fan base versus theirs. We know.
If you have any ideas for which podcast we should fight, or if you produce a podcast and want to fight with us, feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Like, we've been racking our brains for ways to whip our fan base into a frenzy of action. So if you can think of any ways to do this, or
you know, I got it. If you want to join the Best Damn Podcast Ever Fight Force.
Oh yeah.
You will be in the elite group that will be battling the listeners of other podcasts.
That's right.
At our beck and call, of course.
Evangelizing them to the Best Damn Podcast Ever.
All right, so we'd like to thank our audio editor, Lucas, who does a fantastic job. I especially love every week. The first thing I go to when he sends me that audio file is that clip at the end. I love it.
It's always good.
I love it. Thanks, Lucas. Again, thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Christian C., for being such a good sport about us ruining his evening.
And giving him cancer for the fifth time.
So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And I'm Ryan Meyer.
And we will see you next time.
I can't imagine the sh** of Sid Meier.
So he to his face and gives a thumbs up. William, do you want to describe what's happening
here?
Well,
if you look down in your feed, you can see pictures of.
We know those.
In fact.
Shut up.
Let me touch him in places.
No, don't talk about that. As soon as I beat off all the other sweaty nerds that wouldn't Sid Meier. You know, I love that.
And there's Big Daddy Sid.
Dad, I got something to tell you. I like a lot. William Miller is currently from Casa de Meyer. He's Mr. Sid Meier this weekend.
I don't understand. Now, let's hold the fucking phone. How is it that you are Sid Meier?
You know, if you were asked me that question about a month ago, I couldn't tell you.
Dude, Mr. Miller, you need to get us over there. I will put a through his the Meyer household.
I mean, I've had a lot of in my life, but in the time span that elapsed, the ratio of to elapsing time was the highest it's ever been in my life.
All I know is this had better, like, blow my So more on that later. Look, we better be making Flippy Flap down below, and I'm going to be disappointed. There's Sid Meier, there's Will Wright, and there's Shigeru Miyamoto. Like, being the of any of those three men would just, I don't know, I'd have to or something. Like, you can't do that. I'm sorry.